Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Joshua chapter 1. In verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, that, of course, is the Jordan River, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, that was an enormous place. Euphrates is now in Iraq. All the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, in other words, in the west, that's the Mediterranean Sea now, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Now get this next part. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. Now Moses was a very powerful leader. Moses did some pretty amazing things with God. It took him a while to get there. He was trained for 40 years after he became a believer, really. And it took a long time to train him. But once he got trained, and his training ended when he was 80 years old, that's when his ministry really began. So he's 80 years old. He finally finishes Bible college, and he goes out on the mission field. How long are people willing to wait nowadays, right? I want my training done yesterday. Well, Moses was 80. It took 40 years to train this guy. But once he was trained, he went out. He got sent out. And he was a very effective and powerful leader. He knew God extremely well, and God was very close to Moses. And God is saying to Joshua here, as I was with Moses. Well, God was incredibly faithful to Moses. God kept coming through for Moses. God did all kinds of miracles for Moses. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And because God is toward you as Moses, he's telling Joshua, and he's going to be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. You can be strong and you can have good courage. You know, God says the exact same thing to you. As I was with Moses, so I'm going to be with you. There is not one believer that God does not say that to. We're actually in a better position than Moses was because we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Remember, it's only after Pentecost that the Holy Spirit started indwelling people. Prior to that, he would come upon them, but then he would leave again. But in this particular age, it's called the church age or the age of grace, from Pentecost until the rapture, the Holy Spirit, when you become a believer, lives inside of you. He doesn't leave ever. Not even when you get to heaven, he won't leave. But that's not true for all ages. Prior to that, he would simply visit, and then he would leave again. Well, Moses had this amazing thing going on with God, and he didn't even have the Holy Spirit living inside of him, but God was so faithful to him because Moses trusted God, Moses believed God, and because of that, God had this amazing relationship where all kinds of remarkable things happened with Moses. Now, remarkable is relative. We don't have the same needs as Moses did. We're not trying to enter into a promised land, Jericho and Canaan. We're not trying to conquer nations. But that doesn't mean anything. Moses had to have himself conquered first. As a matter of fact, Moses never went into the promised land. Moses only took Israel to it, but never crossed the Jordan with them. The promised land was on the other side of the Jordan River. You had to cross it to get there. Moses died before he could cross it. So Moses did all these remarkable things for Israel, but really the thing with Moses was about his relationship to God. That's where the action is. That's where really it matters, in your relationship to God. The outward stuff, okay, that's just stuff God is doing. But that is nothing more than details. It's the relationship that makes the difference. Now, Moses was not an amazing guy, but he had an amazing relationship. Now, any one of us can be in the exact same type of relationship with God. In Acts 10:34, God is not a respecter of persons. By that, it means to say God doesn't favor one person over another person. God doesn't say, you're like this, therefore I'll be closer to you, but that one is like this, and I'm not so happy with their personality or what they've done or what have you, so I'm not going to be so close to them. People do that. God does not. God is not going to pick and choose based on personality, history, ability, any of that stuff. God is not a respecter of persons. Moses was not a perfect man. In Exodus chapter 2, Moses was a really kind of rough guy for a while. Moses grew up actually not as some special dude. Now, you may say he did, but he didn't. When Moses was born, Israel was being persecuted. And Pharaoh was very defensive. Pharaoh was the king of Egypt. He was very defensive against the Israelites because he was afraid of them. And he wanted to kill Israeli children when they were born because he was so afraid of them. And his mother took him and she put him in this basket and she covered it in tar to waterproof it. And she put him on the side of a river, on a river bank in some reeds. Now, sometimes people think that she actually sent them down the river, but that's not what she did. She actually put them on the river bank in some reeds and some sticks, bushes, whatever it was there, and she left them there. And his sister was watching to see what was going to happen. Now, his mother was no dummy. His mother knew exactly what she was doing. His mother put him in a place where Pharaoh's daughter, Pharaoh is the king, where the king's daughter goes over there and she bathes. So she finds this basket and she takes the child and she adopts the child because she has always wanted a child and here he is. This is Moses. Now Moses grew up as the king's grandson. That's not terribly special. It seems special in the world, but it wasn't terribly special. It did not develop him. His position in life is not what made him to be who he was. In chapter 12 of Exodus 2, Moses went out to the Israelites. He grew up among the Egyptians. He was taught, he was trained, he was educated as an Egyptian. He lived in the king's palace as a royal Egyptian. But then he went to his own people. Israel was not all throughout Egypt. Probably some Israelites were, but Israel had their own area within Egypt. And Moses went there to see his people. And he saw this Egyptian beating an Israelite. And Moses looked around. And when he thought nobody was looking, he killed the Egyptian. And he buried him in the sand. Now, burying somebody in the sand, probably Moses didn't have much choice, but that's not really a great place to bury a body. Because the sand moves, it's going to get uncovered pretty quickly, but nevertheless, he buries him in the sand. Well, this guy was a killer. He had no authority to kill the Egyptian. He had no right to kill the Egyptian. He didn't like what was going on. But he didn't have that authority. He wasn't judge and jury. He was a guy who was a little bit young, a little bit hot-headed, and he killed somebody because he didn't like what was going on. But he wasn't the boldest guy in the world either. He was a guy who, when somebody the next day brought it up to him, he saw these two Israelites fighting. And he said, why are you fighting yourselves? You guys are brethren. Why are you fighting? They said to him, what are you going to do? Kill us the way you killed the Egyptian? Oops, I guess somebody did see. You know what he did? He ran away. And he went into the wilderness. And he stayed there 40 years. But it was in the wilderness that God taught him. Now, this is the same guy who was so protected by God as a child that God found a way to keep him from getting killed. He was so protected by God as a child that even though Pharaoh, and there was a different Pharaoh at the time, God found a way to protect him. And not only did God find a way to protect him, when the king's daughter, Pharaoh's daughter, took him, she said, get one of the Israeli women to take care of him for me. And you know who they got? They got his mother. And so not only did he get protected, not only did he get raised as the king's grandson, his mother was given him back when she gave him up to protect him. He came right back to her. He wasn't gone but a couple of days at most. And his mother got to raise him. Now, Pharaoh's daughter didn't necessarily know that was his mother, but God made sure that it was his mother. You see, God has this amazing thing. As he was with Moses, so he's going to be with you. God had a call on Moses' life. That's why Moses was so protected. In 1 Timothy 1:9, God calls you with a holy calling and you receive that calling before the world began. So even before Moses was born, he had this amazing calling on his life, and the events of his life, even before he knew God, were taken care of by God to bring him into that calling. Was it good that Moses killed the Egyptian? No, it was not. But God used that situation to get Moses trained. Well, Moses had a very difficult task ahead of him within that call. Moses had to lead between 2 and 4 million, scholars can't agree which, but either way it's a lot, between 2 and 4 million Israelites, and they were not an easy group to deal with. Israelites have historically been an unruly bunch. Everybody wanted to be the boss. Nobody wanted to be the worker or the follower. Everybody wanted it their way. Nobody wanted to get along. That's one of the reasons why Moses gave the law, because nobody wanted to get along. Eventually, they would have just killed each other. So Moses had this call, and God brought him into it, even though the circumstances that were used had to be arranged. The circumstances were not necessarily good circumstances, positive circumstances, but God arranged them nonetheless. And he took Moses, he got him trained, he brought him into a calling. God has a call on your life. That call was in place before the world began. God knew you long ahead of time. God has always had a call on your life. God always knew you. God always had a purpose for you. And that purpose is something God is going to work out in your life, Even if you make choices that are negative, because you belong to God, because you're called by God, God is going to bring about His purpose for your life, just like He did with Moses. Now, I'm not saying make negative decisions. Making negative decisions has some very bad consequences. What I am saying is that even if you do make mistakes, even if you do make negative decisions, God's purpose for you doesn't change. God's calling for you doesn't change. He's still going to bring you into the call. And if you get into some kind of a negative circumstance, God will use that circumstance to bring you where He wants you. He arranges things. He orders your steps. He's the one who figures it out. You don't have to. He's already figured it out. You simply respond to Him. Now, when Moses was an adult, he had a tough time of it. He had a very bad stutter. Moses had a very difficult time speaking. You watch the Moses movie and Moses is there, this powerful guy with this amazing booming voice. No, Moses was nothing like that at all. Moses was the meekest man on the face of the planet. He did not want attention. He did not want leadership. He did not want the spotlight. He did not want to do the talking. Especially the talking. Because he had a really bad stutter. So God allowed his brother Aaron to talk for him. But it was really Moses that God was talking to. It was really Moses that God wanted calling the shots because God was talking to Moses. Moses was intimidated to go back to Egypt. Well, I would be too if I had killed somebody and now I was supposed to go back to the place where I could get in trouble for it. But you know what? God said to Moses in Exodus 23:20, "Behold, I will send an angel before you." Now that word angel is a capital A. In the Bible, where it's a capital A for angel, and this happens in the Old Testament sometimes, it's actually talking about Christ. When you hear the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, it's talking about Christ. Remember, Christ was not on earth as a person yet. Nobody really knew the person of Christ. They knew him theologically. They knew he was coming, but they couldn't identify the person. And when he showed up, and he did a few times. For example, with Balaam, he showed up. He was the angel with the sword in his hand. Moses talked to him. Moses didn't know he was talking to Christ. But Moses talked to him. Eventually, Moses figured it out. Jacob wrestled with him. So it's not like Jesus appeared for the first time in Nazareth. No, Jesus appeared a whole lot of times. Those are called Christophanies. And here, there's a Christophany. And God is saying to him, I'm going to send an angel. What he's saying is, I'm going to be before you. I, Christ, am going before you to keep you in the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared. As God was with Moses, so he's going to be with you. God is always going to go before you. And you have one more advantage that Moses didn't have. The Holy Spirit is living inside of you. So not only is God going before you, the Holy Spirit lives in you. You can't go anywhere. You can't do anything where He is not present. He lives in you. If you're there, He's there. By the way, that's sometimes why God puts you in some situations. And you may not always understand why you're there. What's the purpose of my being here? What's the purpose of this circumstance in my life? Why do I have to deal with these people? They're so negative or hard or what have you. Why me, God? Well, sometimes the reason is because God is there if you're there. He puts you there so He could be there. He's living inside of you. Sometimes when we get into it with people as a problem, God's actually trying to reach those people. And that's why he allows that problem to come to you. Because God is living in you. And he wants to reach them. Well, as he was with Moses, so he's going to be with you. There's never a circumstance or a time where God is not going before you and God is not in you. There's never a circumstance or a time where what has taken place in your life was not purposed by God. It's all been purposed by God. It's all been planned by him. It's all been designed by him. I might not understand the design, but that doesn't mean there is no design. God understands it perfectly, and as long as God understands it, you don't have anything to worry about. In Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord and don't try to figure out whether you get it or not. Don't try to figure out the outcome. Don't try to figure out how you're going to get through it. Don't try to figure out what to do in it. Trust in him with all your heart. That's your part. Why? In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths, just like he did with Joshua, just like he did with Moses. Moses' path was ordered by God. In other words, God directed where Moses went, when he went, how he got there, the whole nine yards. Well, God's going to do that for you. You acknowledge him, and Moses was acknowledging him all the time. Because Moses knew that without God in his life, nothing's happening. Well, that's true for us too. Without God in our life, nothing is happening. But if we acknowledge him, if we draw near to him, yes, absolutely, he's going to work things out for us. He's going to direct us. He's going to guide us. He's going to give us wisdom. He's going to speak to us. He's going to give us absolutely everything we need. If it's direction, he'll give us direction. If it's encouragement, he'll give us encouragement. If it's money, he'll give us money. If it's friends, he'll give us friends. Whatever it is that we need, God is going to give it to us. Just like he was with Moses, he's going to be with you. In Exodus 33:11, the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. The Lord's going to speak to you. Why? Because you belong to him. In John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. Well, that means he's talking. God will talk to you. Sometimes people think that they have to work up hearing from God. They'll ask God and now they're working it up to hear from him. And a thought pops into their head. It's, oh, okay, that's God. That's the first thought that came. That's God. They're striving. They're trying to work up hearing from God. You don't have to work up hearing from God. If you're working up hearing from God, that's the surest way to know you're not hearing from God. You're hearing your own thoughts, not his, if you're working it up. Why? Because it's natural effort. If I ask God for something, I don't try to hear. I simply keep still. And if he talks, I'll hear him. If he doesn't talk, I won't hear him. If he doesn't talk, God has another way of communicating. God has a lot of ways of communicating. So don't worry about, well, alright, God, I asked you this question, and now, okay, what's the answer? What's the answer? What's the answer? What's the answer? And the first thought that pops to mind, oh, that's the answer? No, that's not the answer. When God speaks, you will hear. If you're not hearing, he's not speaking. That doesn't mean he's not speaking to you. That just means he's chosen another way for that time to communicate. Often he speaks to us through messages. That's the most common way that God communicates. In Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, the Holy Spirit speaks to the messenger given to the churches. In other words, the pastor. The pastor receives something from the Holy Spirit and he gives it to you. And so the Holy Spirit is communicating. And as you're listening, some things you're going to say, wow, that is really talking to me. Have you ever had that happen? I bet you have had that happen. You're listening to a message, he's talking about me. I know he's talking about me. Okay, who told him he's talking about me? Nobody told him. Then how does he know? He doesn't, the Holy Spirit does. The funny thing is, the Holy Spirit speaking to you, the pastor is simply hearing from the Spirit. He doesn't know he's talking to you. God is talking to you in the messages. If something speaks to you in the message, take it personally. It's meant that way. And don't be thinking to yourself, oh, the pastor is saying this to me. The pastor has no idea. Pastor doesn't know what's going on in your life. Pastor doesn't live with you. No, the Holy Spirit speaking, the Holy Spirit does live with you. And everybody in the church receives something a little bit different. I don't care if you have 10,000 people in the church. If the pastor is hearing from the Holy Spirit, everybody in that church who's available to hear from the Holy Spirit is going to hear something a little bit different. Because the Holy Spirit is speaking to you according to your need. You will hear His voice. That is called rhema. Rhemas are what we live by in Matthew 4:4. When Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, that word is rhema in the original language. And it means a specific revelation or communication from God for you. Logos is the general word of God. But rhema is what we live by. We live by a relationship to Him. Moses had a relationship to God. As He was with Moses, so He will be with you. You have a relationship to God. And when He speaks to you, just like He spoke to Moses, when He gives you definition, just like He gave definition for Moses, when He gives you instruction, just like He gave to Moses, you're going to respond just like Moses responded. As He was with Moses, so He's going to be with you. In John 15:14, you're my friends if you do whatever I command you. Now Moses was a friend of God. He spoke to Him face to face like a friend. Abraham was also a friend of God. Why? Well, in James 2:23, they were called friends of God because they believed God. Well, you have the exact same thing going on. You see, we think it's a little bit different, but really it's not. To us, He says, you're my friends if you do whatever I command you. But in verse 17, the command is love one another. And so it's not like it's this painful command. It's not like we have to follow all these rules. What does God want me to do? Love one another. If you love one another, then you're my friends. That's what He's saying. If you love one another, you're my friends. You can love one another because you received love from me. And so now you can love one another. You're my friends. How do I receive love from Him? I believe Him. Bottom line, I believe Him. If I believe God and it leads to the point where I'm receiving the love of God and I'm loving people, God calls me His friend. Just like He was with Moses, so He's going to be with you. God did some pretty remarkable things for Moses. Because the need was there. Anytime there's a need, God can do the most remarkable things for you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. Whatever need you have, God will take care of. Why? Just like He was with Moses, He's going to be with you. God isn't one way with Moses and another way with you. It's the exact same God. He doesn't favor one person over another. He'll use anybody who's willing to believe Him, anybody who's willing to trust Him. He's looking for their friendship. And when he has that friendship, they'll have everything like Moses did. When he has their friendship, just like he was with Moses, he's going to be with you. As he is with Moses, he is with you. You can count on it. You can bet on it. You can rest in it. You can be confident with it. You can be confident in it. As he was with Moses, he's going to be exactly the same way with you. Why? Same God. Amen? If you don't know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I accept your gift of mercy and what you have done on the cross. Save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die. And give me a relationship with you now as you come into my heart and live.